Brother. Okay, if you all are familiar with our show here, then you have almost certainly stumbled across the Pixar theory, the idea that all the Pixar films exist on one giant timeline, starting with The Good Dinosaur, or arguably Elemental, more on that in just a moment. And it spans all the way through the Scottish Highlands of Brave, the inventions of Syndrome and The Incredibles, Andy's Toys and Toy Story, into The Beyond and Wall-E, and finally back down to Earth with Monsters, Inc. We obviously have a blast discussing the concept and actually trying our hardest with each new installment in the series to find a way to make it work. But at this point, there are 27 Pixar movies, and it can be a lot to keep track of. You could easily be forgiven for not remembering every single detail. Like, how did the toys fit in again? And is Onward on a different planet? And what did the bugs even do?
But it's a rock.
The good news is that while every movie absolutely fits the entire narrative, we've been able to narrow in the main themes and story of the entire universe into 5 movies. The high points, the purpose of the Pixar theory, if you will. So today, we are going to be counting down the top 5 most important movies to the Pixar theory.
Pixar theory, the Pixar theory, we're finally going to see it clearly, the Pixar theory.
That song, in case you're wondering, is actually Jay, and you can download it on iTunes. And I'm not saying we're aiming for like a platinum record or anything, but we're not. Okay, so the Pixar theory can really be boiled down to 5 movies: Inside Out, Monsters, Inc., Coco, Brave, and Elemental. First, what is the Pixar theory about? In a word, it's memories, or in twice as many words, being remembered. Being remembered is the very point of the Pixar theory, to actively remember those who came before you, to look to where you came from as a guide for the future, because those who are not forgotten are not really gone. That was kind of deep. I wonder who wrote this. And it's extremely present in pretty much every Pixar movie. Carl's struggle in Up is that he can't let Ellie's memory die. Bob is tortured by the idea of Mr. Incredible being forgotten, because without Mr. Incredible, who is he? Even the toys in Toy Story fear being forgotten. The less they are remembered, the more they fall into disrepair, like Wheezy. So with that in mind, let's start with the movie that is all about memories, Inside Out.
Anyway, these are Riley's memories, and they're mostly happy, you'll notice, not to brag.
Inside Out shows us how the memories inside people's minds work within the Pixar universe. If you experience basically anything at all, your mind will produce one of these little memory orbs, and an emotion will color it to match the memory. Then, when you remember it, you'll feel the same emotion again. Very elegant. These memories are basically what powers everything in the Pixar universe. Like, this is how the toys come to life. Andy has memories of them, and that's what allows them to walk around. And this might sound a little bit silly, but let me ask you this question. Like, what are the monsters harvesting in Monsters, Inc. to literally run their cities as their power source? It's screams, aka fear, aka purple-colored memory orbs. And yet, when we meet the monsters, they are in the middle of an energy crisis with not enough screams to go around.
Kids these days, they just don't get scared like they used to.
No, they don't. And why is that, Joy? What did you say earlier?
Anyway, these are Riley's memories, and they're mostly happy, you'll notice, not to brag.
Sounds a little bit like a brag, but you're also like the essence of happiness in the world, so we'll give you a pass. Point is, she has a point. Joy is more abundant than fear, at least in Riley's time, and thus kids literally don't scare like they used to. Joy is more powerful energy source, which is why monsters ultimately pivot to collecting laughter. To really understand why the memories generate energy, we need to look no further than Pixar's latest movie, Elemental. Throughout the movie, we see nearly one-to-one parallels between the emotions the characters are feeling and colors. Wade and his family are made of water and are blue and are constantly sad and crying about everything. That's sadness.
Remember the funny movie where the dog dies?
Ember's main arc is about overcoming her anger, her fire flares when she is just like anger. Then sometimes she goes purple, which seems like extra angry, but...
Sometimes when I lose my temper, I think it's just me trying to tell me something I'm not ready to hear.
Not ready to hear it because she is afraid of it. So purple equals fear. Conversely, when Ember is inside the bubble, seeing the Vivisteria tree for the first time, and after Wade tells her that he loves her, she glows yellow, which I'm sure you were aware of is the color of joy. And lastly, we have disgust, which is just, you know, all the earth people.
An act of God or an act of Claude?
Oh, Claude. So there is clearly correlation here, and it goes further. You can even see Wade and Ember make memories like orbs. Like, hey, look, meaningful moment, Ember makes an orb. Meaningful moment, Ember is seeing the Vivisteria tree, and Ember is in an orb. Wade and Ember touch. Huge moment, orb! But when they touch is the real magic. That's when they create a chemical reaction.
We changed each other's chemistry.
Which, in case you don't know, a chemical reaction is a process in which one or more substances, the reactants, are converted to one or more different substances, the products. And chemical reactions are an integral part of technology, of culture, and indeed, of life itself. Ember's mom even does this love match ritual that displays whether or not two different fire sources are compatible with one another. But when Wade and Ember do it, we see the end result. It's actually making a helix of smoke. DNA, the building block of life. So what they produce when they touch, at least in our fun little metaphysical Pixar universe where memory powers everything, is energy. Literal, pure energy. You even see it in Inside Out. Chemical reaction, magic. Inside Out also offers an explanation for why the monsters scare kids and not adults. By the end of the movie, Riley starts producing more complex emotions, orbs with multiple colors. The basic idea here is that teenagers and adults have more complex emotions that are harder to harvest, while kids feel a single emotion at 100%, which, as a father myself, I can absolutely confirm. This morning I had dinosaur egg oatmeal for my daughter, and of course she only wants to eat the dinosaur eggs, but I insist that she also eats the oatmeal, so yeah, it was a doozy.
Was that true?
That is true. That actually happened.
Ah, nice.
We also learned that not all memories are forever. Throughout the movie, we see Riley's little jelly bean characters actively clearing out old and unused memories. Riley hasn't touched them in a while, and they deem them forgettable.
Yeah, just keep Washington, Lincoln, and the fab one.
Forget them!
But all these memories end up in the memory dump, where they are slowly but finally forgotten. Which is a super fun representation of how you forget certain information, but we also get to see what happens when a being is wholly forgotten. Specifically, Bing Bong.
Take her to the moon for me.
The irony is, Riley forgetting Bing Bong is something I personally will never forget. Thank you for that, Pixar. Now, Bing Bong is an imaginary friend, so while his death is of course sad, the stakes are also kind of low, and yet this outcome is what basically every Pixar character is in hopes of avoiding or preventing. We get a much more in-depth look at how this works person to person inside of the movie Coco. I always thought it was fascinating how the City of the Dead looked like a more vast version of Riley's mind, but really it's not a surprise at all because it's kind of the same phenomenon. Riley's mind holds a single girl's memories, but the City of the Dead is the collected memories of generations of people of Mexico, or at least their memories of their dead. And it works pretty much exactly the same. Once a year on Dia de los Muertos, if your family puts your picture on the ofrenda, you are allowed to cross over to the living world and receive gifts. This is like a memory being called to HQ. You are in the mind again.
Again?
Either way, ofrenda or not, as long as any memory of you exist anywhere, just one memory orb in one living person's head will be enough to keep you alive in the afterlife. You know what I mean. But if you are entirely forgotten, then like Bing Bong, you receive a second death, a final death. This is precisely what happens to Hector's friend, Chicarrón. He is wholly forgotten and, much like Bing Bong, gone forever. So how do you avoid the second death? Is it even possible? Characters like Ernesto de la Cruz seem poised never to be forgotten, what with being one of the most famous musicians of all time. And yet, time is the enemy. People may continue loving his music for hundreds of years, but eventually, his last song will play, the last statue of him will crumble, and the universe will forget Ernesto.
When he was crushed by a giant bell.
Well, according to the Pixar theory, there's one character in particular that has gone about solving this issue. You guessed it, Boo. What does this little girl have to offer solving immortality and preventing a second death? Everything, because of course she doesn't stay a little girl forever. But what happens when she is a little girl affects her life forever, and what happens is that she spends a few days in the monster world, making friends with James B. Sullivan, aka Sully, aka
Kitty.
It's a magical couple of days, but over too soon, as Boo must eventually return to the human world and never to see her blue friend again, or almost never. In any case, the friendship formed between these two and the unique way in which they are able to meet is the literal glue that holds the entire Pixar theory together. And what I mean by how they meet is via the doors. We all know they travel to the human world, but does that mean the monsters live in a whole separate dimension, a whole different realm? And the answer is no, the monsters also live on Earth, just in the distant, distant future where humans no longer live, having all now become the monsters. There's a full explanation of this in the long version of the Pixar theory, which you can check out by clicking the card. The important thing though is that's what happened. The issue they are faced with is that without humans, there is no energy being generated like it used to be, which is why they developed the doors, a way to travel back in time to when humans existed and from whom they can harvest energy. The tricky thing is that the doors only seem to allow them to move to a set distance back in time. They can't choose how far back they go, and that timeline moves parallel with their own. So for example, if they exist in the year 7000 and are traveling to 1950, then when it becomes 7001, in their time, the doors will travel back to 1951. Get it? This is also why Scream is eventually a non-viable energy source. Syndrome invents AI, which starts making life for humans easier and easier and easier, and thus less afraid and more happy, so shift. Of course, eventually with time, they get too happy. On the axiom there?
Hit a few virtual balls in space.
Nah, we did that yesterday. I don't want to do that.
Well, then what do you want to do?
Anyway, Boo learns about time travel and goes about trying to learn magic to do it herself. And honestly, there's like not no evidence that she's a super. I mean, how else is she otherwise doing this hiding act?
Hey, you're good.
Which, hey, I know it's not the same as being a time-traveling toddler, but you too can feel pretty super with this super mug I've been sipping out of, available now at carlinbrothersmercantile.com. But y'all, we need to take a brief pause right there to give a huge thank you to today's sponsor, Factor. So, I know we've just dipped our toe into spring here, but let's travel back in time. It's November, you've got the holidays. Then December, and you've got more holidays. Then it's just the dark, cold days of winter for 3 whole months. I don't know about you guys, but eating healthy through this stretch is tough. But this is also what I personally love so much about Factor. They provide restaurant quality meals that are fresh and never frozen and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. And Factor has you covered any time of day. With their add-ons, you can snag pancakes, smoothies, I'm partial to the cinnamon horchata, and more, like their wellness shots. I've been doing the cayenne cleanse in the morning. They genuinely give you a boost to just kick off your day. Factor really is the perfect solution if you're looking for fast premium options with no cooking required. And it's flexible for your schedule. Get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. Plus, you can pause or reschedule your deliveries anytime. So head on over to factormeals.com/super50 and use code super50 to get 50% off. That's code super50 at factormeals.com/super50 to get 50% off. Link in the description down below. Anyway, eventually we can assume Sully dies and Boo goes about trying to ensure he never experiences the second death. But how does she do it? Well, as we are all quite aware by this point, Boo is the witch.
Everything is half off.
And oddly, there are large amounts of proof for this one. Like, for one, magic doors, check. For two, Sully is basically a big bear, and what does the witch carve? Bears. Then for three, how does the old witch in ancient Scotland know about Pizza Planet trucks? Time traveler. And then for four, where did Sully come from? Her door. And oh my God, who is carved on the witch's door? Sully. I'll give you a second to pick up your mind off the floor. Kind of a weirdly big sip. So there you go. Boo is the witch, and she is endeavoring to save Sully from experiencing the second death by the use of time travel. The idea is that if she is able to go live in the past, she can create memories of Sully from before he existed. She can remember something from the future, thus creating a permanent loop. She can always ensure events play out the way they need to for her to ultimately meet Sully and learn enough magic to go back and start the cycle over again. Sully's memory never needs to fade. There you go. That's the Pixar theory in a nutshell. That's what you can tell your friends. Guys, as always, thank you so much for tuning in. Be sure to like this video and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. If you'd like to go and check out the most up-to-date version of the Pixar Theory, you can do so right over here. But otherwise, until next time, bye!